Well, it's a privilege to have all of us here today. So as we always do, let's look to the Lord, our God, as we prepare our hearts for Him to teach us. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the privilege to be in Your presence today. I thank You that You are the great and awesome God, the mighty God of the universe, the Lord of the universe, the ruler of the nations, and the God who is in control of human history, the God who is directing all the affairs of the nations, even through all the chaos, until You accomplish Your divine purpose here on earth and usher in the kingdom of Your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. We thank You today for the privilege to study Your word, and we pray that Your Holy Spirit, the teacher, will continue to instruct us in Your word. And so we pray that our hearts will be cleansed and open to Your teaching, and that, Lord, we will live here not the same way we came, but different, with something accomplished by Your Spirit in our hearts. These things we pray with thanksgiving in Jesus Christ our Lord. And all God's people said, Amen. Well, today I'll begin my message by asking you several questions. So I want you to pay close attention to these questions. Which of the following quotes are in the Bible? Number one, cleanliness is next to godliness. Two, God helps those who help themselves. Three, confession is good for the soul. Four, man is born to trouble as the sparks fly upward. Fifth, money is the root of all evil. And six, honesty is the best policy. Well, believe it or not, only one, yes, only one of those quotes is found in the Bible. Can anyone tell us which one it is? Well, that is close, but it's not. The fourth one, which says, man is born to trouble as the sparks fly upward, is from Job chapter 5, verse 7. Now, what you said is actually, the Bible says, the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil, in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10. But it's not, money is the root of all evils. Well, George Mueller, a pastor and orphanage director in the 1800s, would have had no trouble at all knowing which of those quotes were from the Bible. Why? Because he read through it more than 100 times in his lifetime. He said, I look upon it as a lost day when I have not had a good time over the Word of God. I have always made it a rule never to begin work until I've had a good season with God and His Word. The blessing I have received has been wonderful. Of course, we don't need to feel guilty if we don't read the Bible as much as Mueller did 100 times all over in his lifetime. But consider with me reading it through at least once in this new year, in which we are already in beginning the fourth month. Not so that we can answer some trick questions about it, but because it was given to us by God and is profitable for our spiritual growth. Well, as we come to the concluding part of our study in 2 Timothy chapter 3, Timothy will be reminded that the antidote against a world of apostasy is the Word of God. The only resource and recourse for the believing child of God is the Word of God. Besieged by false teachers and the inevitable pressures of a growing ministry, Timothy could have easily abandoned his faith or modified his doctrine to fit that of the false teachers. That's what most people do in order not to be left, want to be left as people who are nuts or people who are Bible crazy. People either join other teachings and just blend the Bible with it so they can become one with others and not be left out. But Timothy didn't do that. Once again, through the Holy Spirit, Paul counseled Timothy to hold on to the basic teachings about Jesus Christ that are eternally true, preserved in the sacred writings. You see, like Timothy, we are also surrounded on every side today by false teachings. But we must not allow our society to distort or crowd out God's eternal truth. Why? Because God's word is given to us by God and is profitable for our spiritual growth. That is the reason why the Bible was given to us. So this brings me to the main idea of the message God has given me from his word today to deliver to you at this decisive hour in your life and my life. So please, I want you to listen carefully to it, not just with your head, but more importantly with your heart, where the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the eternal Spirit of truth and transformation, is eager and enthused to plant the seed of God's lasting and life-changing truth in order to transform genuine born-again believers more into the glorious image of Jesus Christ, the head and healer of the church, and to turn unbelievers from their sin of unbelief, gently and graciously leading them to genuine repentance and personal saving faith in Jesus Christ, who is the Holy One and the hope of the nations. So here's our message in a nutshell. Please, I want you to pay very close attention to it with an open heart and an open mind. Here's the message. It's going to be about the scripture itself. Here's the message. The Holy Scriptures, which originate from God himself, have power to save and are significantly useful in fitting the believer for service. I repeat, the Holy Scriptures, which originate from God himself, have power to save and are significantly useful in fitting you as a believer and me as a believer for service in the kingdom of God. Folks, friends, faithful followers of Christ among us here today, and fellow believers in the fold and flock, fellowship and family of God, the Bible is going to freshly and faithfully remind us that is all genuine born-again Christians of the adequacy and the authority of Scripture. Not only that, it will reveal to us the important role the sacred writings are to have in the lives of believers. In other words, today we are going to get a fresh sense of the value of Scripture. Do you know the value of Scripture? Do you know what value God places on the Scriptures? Today, God, through the Holy Spirit, will give us a fresh sense of the value of Scripture. I tell you, friends, the Bible is the most important book God has given to mankind, and it stands. Christian poet Lilenus vividly captures the thought in this poem. He says, "The Bible stands like a mountain towering far above the works of men. Its truth by none ever was refuted, and destroy it, they never can. So please, if you have your Bibles, turn them to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14 to 17. Will you please listen carefully as I recite the word of God, our passage of scripture today, from the updated New American Standard Bible, which is the most literal translation of our Bible into our English language. Starting from verse 14, the Bible says, "You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be equipped, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. This is the word of God to the people of God. May the Lord add his blessing to the recital of his holy word. We have before us a passage of scripture which is only two sentences in the original. This two-sentence passage can be accurately described as a passage highlighting two things. First, salvation, and second, scripture. What a wonderful combination. Salvation and scripture, they go together. First of all, it is a passage highlighting salvation because, please listen carefully now, it convincingly shows that the divine goal of the sacred writings is the salvation of sinners on the basis of faith alone in Jesus Christ alone. I tell you, friends, without the sacred writings, we will have little significance and certainly no saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Our passage makes it very clear that salvation is through faith which is in Christ Jesus. It is not through charity or confirmation or church membership or on anything depending on human effort or merit. If we didn't have the scriptures, we would never know that this is the way God wants people to be saved. We will follow all kinds of ways for salvation. Even with the Bible clearly telling us the way of salvation, people are still choosing all kinds of ways to seek salvation in Jesus, to seek salvation for their lives. Well, second, this passage is a passage that emphasizes scripture because, listen, it confidently speaks of the divine origin of scripture. We have in our passage of study one of the greatest teachings in the New Testament on the origin of the Bible. And that is the person of God himself. In other words, our passage contains one of the most important verses on the subject of inspiration. It teaches us that the scriptures are God-breathed. This stresses the divine origin and thus the authority of scripture. So these are the reasons why our passage of study today can be accurately described as a passage highlighting or giving prominence to salvation on one hand and scripture on the other hand. So having simply whetted your spiritual appetite, please allow me to give you a brief overview of how the Holy Spirit has prepared me to present to you his message in this rich and remarkable passage from start to finish. First of all, we will examine his exhortation to Timothy, centering on the need for persistence in the teachings of the scripture in verse 14. Persistence in the teachings of the scripture in verse 14. Surrounded by false teachers and their false teachings, Timothy is exhorted to continue steadfastly in the teachings of the word of God. Remember, many like Hymenaeus and Philetus had gone astray from the truth. But Timothy must press on, must persist in the truths of the scripture. He must remain loyal to all the teachings he had received and had become personally assured of. You see, Timothy had closely observed how Paul persevered and pressed on in the truths and teachings of God. Now, it is Timothy's turn to continue steadfastly, in other words, to persist in the scriptures. And may I say to you and to me that it is now your turn and my turn to what? To persist in the teachings of the scriptures. How are you doing in that? And how am I doing in persisting in the teachings of the scriptures? Well, second, we will explore what the Holy Spirit reveals about the power of scripture in verse 15. The Bible speaks boldly of the power of scripture. It says that scripture has power to bring sinners, listen, to the sphere of salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. This is the undeniable power of scripture. Please listen, knowledge about how sinners can be saved is found only in the sacred writings. That is the Bible. This is the only way I know how I can be saved from my sins. If I take any other book of man, I will never know the way of salvation. The only way I know for sure God's way of salvation for my life is found in the sacred writing. And the Bible will show us today that in a clear way. So this is actually in direct contrast to the false teaching, which I stated throughout the letter, only leads to disputes and ungodliness. Again and again, Paul reminded Timothy that the teachings of the false teachers doesn't lead to salvation. It only leads to arguments, speculations, disputes, ungodliness. It doesn't lead anyone to salvation. The only way we know we can be led to salvation is when I take this Bible and open it and allow God to speak to my heart. So the question is, have you tasted the power of Scripture in your life of late? How has Scripture changed you? How is the Scripture changing you today? Do you have a fresh testimony of the power of Scripture in your life? I hope you do. Well, third, we will turn our attention to the Holy Spirit's instruction centering on the primary source of Scripture in verse 16a. How did we get the Bible? Where does the Bible come from? If your granddaughter or grandkids just walked up to you, "Grandma, how did we get this Bible?" Would you be able to answer that question clearly, cogently, convincingly, concisely to that little one? Who is behind the Bible? Who is its original source? Well, the Bible itself will affirm God's active involvement in the writing of Scripture, an involvement so powerful and so pervasive that what is written is the infallible and authoritative Word of God. Fourth, we will discuss what the Holy Spirit teaches about the profitability of Scripture in verse 16b. Because Scripture comes from God Himself, the Bible is going to make a bold claim that all of it is profitable or useful. As the Word of God, every portion is profitable or useful or beneficial. But the question is, does your life as a believer in Jesus Christ demonstrate that even every portion of Scripture is profitable to you, is valuable to you? Do you regularly spend time in the Word of God because you are convinced of how valuable and useful it is for your spiritual growth? Well, fifth and finally, we will consider what the Holy Spirit discloses as the purpose of Scripture in verse 17. God is the God of purpose. Anticipating the question in the heart of Timothy, or for that matter, any believer, God, what's the purpose of all that you have been teaching us about Scripture in this passage? Well, the Holy Spirit has a ready and resounding answer. He says, the purpose of all this is that the man of God, and we can say the woman of God, may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. In fact, verse 17 begins with the conjunction, so that, which is hina in the original, literally in order that. So that expression indicates the purpose of Scripture for you, the believer, and for me, the believer in Jesus Christ. So what exactly is that purpose? Well, with the help of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Scriptures, we will answer these questions, that question, in the course of our study. So having given you a concise overview of our passage of study, let's now dig deeper into it to discover the precious and practical spiritual lessons the Holy Spirit is so desirous and delighted to impress upon our hearts in order to accomplish His divine work of making and molding genuine Christians more and more like their Lord and leader, Jesus Christ. We begin, first of all, with His exhortation to Timothy, focusing on the need for persistence in the teachings of the Scripture in verse 14. Earlier, Paul himself has presented himself to Timothy as a model of, or a pattern of, perseverance or persistence. We saw that in chapter 3, verse 10. He spoke of his perseverance, his persistence. He has also, time and time again, exhorted Timothy to continue steadfastly in the teachings of the Word of God. For example, in chapter 1, verse 13, Timothy was exhorted to retain the standard of sound words which you have heard from me in the faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. Now, after having spoken about how the false teachers, that is the evil men and imposters, will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived, the Holy Spirit leads Paul to exhort Timothy to press on in the teachings of Scripture. In other words, he's saying persistence in the things he had learned must clearly be set before him each day of his life. So the Bible says in verse 14, you, however, turning away from the evil men and imposters, Paul says, you, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them. The verb continue, meno, is a command. It is in the present tense of continuous action. This implies that this is not a one-time event or a one-time deal. Rather, it is something Timothy must constantly, continually, consistently do in reliance upon the Holy Spirit living on the inside of him. In effect, the Holy Spirit is urgently exhorting Timothy, you must continue steadfastly in the teachings of the Word of God, because this will be your great resource in these days when false teachers abound on every hand. Persist in holding fast to the lessons you have learned from the Scripture. Keep on remaining loyal to all the teaching you have received from the Scripture. Keep on being faithful to the things you have learned. Stay on course, and you will not be led astray by false teachers and their false teachings. So the question is, what about us? Are we continuing steadfastly in the teachings of the Word of God? Are we remaining loyal to all the teachings we have received from the Word of God? Or are we tempted to veer away or turn our backs to what we have learned? Are we staying on course? And are we pressing on in the truths and teachings we have learned from the scriptures? I know most of you here are doing that. That is why you are here today. Or else you will not, you'll be somewhere else. You want to persist, press on, persevere in the teachings of the scriptures. That is why you are here today. And that is why I'm here today as well. Well, the story is told of two men who had been out deep sea fishing when night began to fall. As they headed back toward land, the more experienced seaman got sleepy and turned the helm over to his friend. The veteran sailor pointed out the North Star and said to him, "Just keep the boat going in that direction." Well, the man had not been at his task very long before he too fell asleep. When he awoke, he was thoroughly confused. You can put yourself in his shoes. He shook his friend frantically and shouted, "Wake up and show me another star. I have run clean past that first one." That's the man. You see, like the inexperienced seaman, many people today are looking for something new to guide their lives because they've lost sight of God's standard, the Bible. They regard the Bible as a relic from the past. But God's laws are just as relevant and practical now as when He first gave them to His people. His standards are more constant than the North Star and as unfailing as the law of gravity. They are not arbitrary rules like the traffic laws that tell us whether to drive on the right side of the road or the left. You see, Timothy is exhorted by the aged and about to be beheaded apostle, "Keep your boat going in the direction of the teachings you have received in God's word." Because God's word is the compass that will keep you and keep us on course. Keep your boat going in that direction, and you'll be on course. And I will, on the other side of the shore will be Jesus waiting for you. Now, please notice the Bible makes it clear in the latter part of verse 14 that Timothy had not only learned the great truths of the Christian faith, but he had also become what? Personally assured of them as well. Now, the word translated, the Bible says, "You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of." So he learned, but it didn't stop there. It went a step further. He had become convinced of what he had learned. That word translated "become convinced of," used only here in the New Testament, literally means have been firmly persuaded of, or have been assured of, or felt confident of. Please listen, it is a great blessing to be firmly persuaded of what you have learned from the teachings of the scriptures through the Holy Spirit. And it's also a great joy. Timothy experienced such blessing and joy. You see, when you are not fully assured of what you have learned from the scriptures through the Holy Spirit's instruction, you'll be easily swayed by false teachers. When you are told by false teachers that such teachings are old-fashioned and not sufficiently cultural or intellectual, you begin to doubt and be tempted to abandon them. But if you are fully assured of the truths you have learned, you will not be swayed to forsake them for theories or human speculation. So it's important for you and for me not only to learn, but also what? To become assured of. Now, if I'm just learning to have knowledge and that is all of it, then I'll be in big trouble. But if I take it to the next level where I become assured of what I've learned, then I'm grounded. I have a strong foundation. I will not be shaken by the false teachings of men. One particular reason why Timothy had become convinced of or firmly persuaded of the things he had learned is that the Bible tells us he knew his teachers. That is why the Bible says at the end of verse 14, knowing from whom you have learned them. Now the question is, who were his teachers? Well, in chapter 1, verse 5, we were told his teachers were his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice. And then in chapter 3, verse 15, it will imply the same thing. And then in chapter 1, verse 13, and chapter 2, verse 1 and 8, Paul was his teacher. So Eunice and Lois were the early teachers Timothy had. But later in life, he had what? Paul as his teacher and mentor. Bible commentator William MacDonald shares this excellent insight on those from whom Timothy learned. Here is the quote. The thought is that the sacred scriptures had been taught to him by those whose lives witnessed to the reality of their faith. They were godly people who lived with the single eye to the glory of God. Unquote. So the point here is that to further encourage Timothy to stand firm or to persist in the teachings of Scripture, Paul, through the Holy Spirit, reminds him of his godly heritage and the godly teachers whom God has given him to teach him. So please make sure those from whom you learn the truths of God are godly. They may not be perfect, but make sure they are godly and trying to follow God, because that will give you confidence to hold on to the truths they are teaching you. If you are not sure of the spiritual state of someone you are learning from, you are not going to be convinced of the truths you are learning. But if you know that person is following God and who has a desire for the glory of God, you hold on to these words that person will teach you, because that person is trying to honor God, not himself or herself. Well, having exhorted Timothy regarding the need for persistence in the teachings of the scripture in verse 14, the Bible now enlightens us on its instruction about the power of scripture in verse 15. Please underline that verse and write beside it the power of scripture. The Bible makes a bold claim here. That is, scripture has power to lead sinners to salvation in Jesus Christ. And that is why the Bible says, and that from childhood you have known the sacred scriptures, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. So the Bible is showing us here that from infancy, Timothy had been under the influence of the inspired writings, and under no circumstances should he forget that blessed book, which had molded his life for God and for good. Timothy was one of the second generation Christians in his family. Two people whom Timothy was especially indebted to were his mother Eunice and grandmother Lois, who faithfully taught him the truths of the Old Testament from his earliest childhood. A Jewish boy, formally began to study the Old Testament when he was just 5 years old. It was the custom to teach Jewish children at a very early age and to cause them to commit parts of it to memory. In fact, it is claimed that the law was so imprinted on the heart and mind of a Jewish child that he will sooner forget his own name than he will forget it. This was Timothy's heritage. Timothy had a lifetime acquaintance with the scriptures due to the faithful teaching of his mother and grandmother. So what's the point of this? Well, please listen carefully now. A parent's work of teaching God's word to their children early in life is so vitally important. You see, Lois and Eunice didn't wait till a popular and prominent and powerful evangelist came to Lystra, where Timothy came from, to preach a powerful sermon before they began teaching Timothy God's word. From early childhood of Timothy, they open up the scriptures to him. Now, at home, parents should realize that teaching small children is both an opportunity and a responsibility. The Lord Jesus himself wanted little children to come to him. And parents, how can you bring your children to Jesus? It is by teaching them this words in the Bible. Like Timothy's mother and grandmother, Eunice and Lois, respectively, do your part in instructing your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren. And one day, they will also experience the power of Scripture in their lives. Well, through his mother and grandmother's diligent and devoted instruction, Timothy, we are told, knew or become well acquainted or owned the sacred writings. In the original, it says, ta hiera grammata. This is also rendered in some of your translation as the Holy Scriptures. For Timothy, the sacred writings or the Holy Scriptures was the Old Testament. How do we know that? Well, understand that the sacred writings of which Paul is writing is the Old Testament because at the time of Paul's writing, the New Testament had not yet come into being. There were some writings, but all of it had not come. All of the New Testament had not come into being. So most of the sacred writings Paul is talking about here to Timothy is the Old Testament. The Old Testament is important because it points to Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, and reveals the need for faith in God's promises. In fact, the Lord Jesus himself made a bold declaration that the Old Testament pointed to him. In John chapter 5, speaking to the Jews, in verse 39, he says to them, "You search the scriptures," that is the Old Testament at the time, "because you think that in them you have eternal life. It is these that testify about me." He says the scriptures, referring to the Old Testament at the time, pointed or testified about him. Then in Luke chapter 24, remember the story after the resurrection on that Sunday, two men were walking to Emmaus, and Jesus came alongside them. He hid himself from them. They didn't recognize him, and they were asking him all kinds of questions. And then Jesus begins to open up their eyes to what the scriptures are all about. In verse 25, he says, "And he said to them, O foolish men, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory? Then, listen, beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, he explained them to them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures. So in all the scriptures, Jesus says, if you read this past all the scriptures, you'll find me in them, because they all point to me. Henry Ward Beecher, the silver-tongued orator of the 19th century, likened scripture to a Beethoven symphony from beginning to end. From beginning to end, said Beecher, runs the single theme of man's ruin by sin and his redemption by grace in a word, Jesus Christ, the Savior. This redemption was promised in Eden and portrayed in the ceremonies of the Mosaic Law. All the key events of the Old Testament paved the way for the coming of Christ. He was the Redeemer looked for by Job. Christ is foretold in the sublime strains of the lofty Isaiah, in the writings of the tender Jeremiah, in the mysteries of the contemplative Ezekiel, in the visions of beloved Daniel. With each passing century, the great theme grew clearer and clearer. Beecher concluded, then the full harmony broke out in the declaration of the angels. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And evangelists and apostles taking up the theme, the strain closes in the same key in which it began. The devil who troubled the first paradise, forever excluded from the second. Man restored to the favor of God. And Jesus Christ, the keynote of the whole. Praise God for Scripture's grand theme, Jesus Christ. Why? In him we have salvation from sin. So notice that through the Holy Spirit, Paul confidently speaks of the power of Scripture, because he's going to speak about salvation. At the end of verse 15, the Bible says, which are able to make you wise to salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. So the Bible is saying that the Scripture has power to bring what? People to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. In other words, salvation is brought about by the Holy Spirit using the Word of God. So please listen. People learn the way of salvation through what? Through the Bible. The way of salvation of sinners is revealed in the Holy Scriptures. To be saved God's way, some people want to be saved their own way, but to be saved God's way requires that a sinner looks to the Scripture, which points to Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. That is why the Bible says at the end of verse 15 that salvation is through faith which is in Christ Jesus. This is very simple and yet very significant statement. The Bible is telling us that salvation is not through good works. Some people think that if they do good works, they will be saved. The Bible is saying it is not through giving money to the church. Salvation is not through giving gifts to charity. It is not through doing your best. It is not through baptism or being born of Christian parents. It is not through church membership or confirmation. Sometimes I talk to people, I said, are you saved? The person will tell me, I'm confirmed in a church. That is not salvation. That is a right. It is not through trying to keep the Ten Commandments. It is not through trying to obey the Golden Rule. Some people say, well, I'm okay, I'll go to heaven because I'm obeying the Golden Rule. If that is how you are saved, then Jesus came here for nothing. Salvation is not through fasting or doing penance. Salvation is not through any other way that involves human effort or merit or accomplishment. The Bible simply and specifically says salvation is through faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God and the Savior of sinners. Though not understanding all the details involved, Old Testament believers like
Abraham, Moses, David looked forward in faith to the coming of the Messiah and his atonement for sin on their behalf. So did Timothy, who responded when he heard the gospel. They looked forward. The people in the Old Testament were looking forward to the cross. Now we can look back to the cross in faith. But it all takes faith. So please mark this word. The scripture has power to bring sinners to a personal saving knowledge of and relationship with Jesus Christ, who is the way and the truth and the life. I tell you folks again and again, scripture has opened for men and women, boys and girls, rich and poor, the way of salvation through simple, sincere faith in the person of the Lord Jesus. Such is the power of scripture. So please, I just want to share with you three stories that vividly illustrates the power of scripture. In his book, The Bible in World Evangelism, A.M. Chergwin has story after story of how the scriptures came into the hands of men and changed their lives. The first story is from Brazil. In Brazil, Senhor Antonio of Minas bought a New Testament which he took home to burn. I like that title, Bought to Burn. He went home and found the fire was out. Deliberately, he lit it. He flung the New Testament on it. But guess what? It will not burn. He opened out the pages to make it burn more easily. It opened at the Sermon on the Mount. He glanced at it as he consigned it to the flames. His mind was caught. He took it back. He read on, forgetful of time, through the night, through the hours of the night, and just as the dawn was breaking, he stood up and declared, "I believe." I tell you, friends, such is the power of Scripture. It makes you wise to salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ. He tells of a second story of a ward's sister in a children's hospital in England. She had been finding life, as she herself said, futile and meaningless. She had waded through book after book and labored with philosophy after philosophy in an attempt to find satisfaction in life. She had never tried the Bible, for a friend had convinced her by subtle argument that it could not be true. Don't trust the Bible. One day, however, a visitor came to the ward and left a supply of gospels. The sister was persuaded to read a copy of St. John. "It shone and glowed with truth," she said, "and my whole being responded to it. The words that finally decided me were those in John chapter 18, verse 37. For this I was born," this is Jesus speaking, "and for this I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." So I listened to that voice and heard the truth and found my Savior. Again, I tell you, friends, such is the power of Scripture leading sinners to salvation, which is in Jesus Christ. Chergwin tells another story to illustrate the power of Scripture. Vicente Quiroga of Chile found a few pages of a book washed up on the seashore by a tidal wave following an earthquake. He read them and never rested until he obtained the rest of the Bible. Not only did he become a Christian, he devoted the rest of his life to the distribution of the scriptures in the forgotten villages of northern Chile. Please never make the mistake of underestimating the power of scripture. It changes lives. It leads sinners to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. So what are we to take away from this message? Well, if you are a genuine born-again believer, this is what you are to take away from this message. First of all, continue steadfastly in the teachings in the Word of God by spending time every day on the foundation of your faith, of your Christian faith found in the Word of God, the great truths that build up your life in Christ. Second, concentrate on becoming convinced or firmly assured of the great truths of the faith so that you will not be led astray or tossed here and there by every wind of doctrine, cunningly and deceitfully taught by false teachers in our day. Third, like Timothy's mother and grandmother, commit to doing your part in instructing your children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren in the Word of God, because the Word of God is able to make people, even little children, wise for salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ. Now, if you are not a believer in Jesus Christ, may I humbly say to you today that you cannot obtain salvation or expect to be admitted to heaven through your good works or giving to charity or doing your best. In other words, all your human efforts or merits or accomplishments will never ever bring you salvation in Jesus Christ. The Bible says salvation is through faith in Jesus Christ. So simply believe in your heart of heart that Jesus died on the cross for your sin, to pay for your sin debt in full, that he was buried to put away your sins as far as the east is from the west, and that he rose victoriously from the dead on the third day to bring you into a right standing with a holy God. And the Bible says you'll be saved and made a new creation. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the reminder of the power of Scripture, of the value of Scripture. Lord, help us to cherish the Word of God that you have given to us, and prepare us to be people who are ready to answer those who will question us. Why do you study the Bible every day? And let us tell them that because the Bible is given to us to help us to follow you, not only one day, but all the days of our lives. Now, Lord, I pronounce your blessing upon your people. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the victory. And all God's people said, Amen.